You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to On the Bench. We have another coach interview for this episode. I'm Brendan Sinone. I'll be joined shortly by Alex Atkins, FSU's offensive coordinator and offensive line coach. I'm going to go over a variety of topics from some of the transfer additions like DJ Uiagalelei. You can tell I've been working on that. I feel like I'm pretty good at it. Some of the new offensive linemen. To his thoughts on the returning offensive linemen, which guys are poised to maybe take on bigger roles. The development of someone like a Darius Washington, which I find fascinating. So it's going to be a fun 15-minute interview coming up here. Before we get to that, I want to give a shout-out to our sponsors, Chattanooga Whiskey, killing it in the craft distillery game, doing an incredible job with their baseline bourbon. Cask strength, their 111, is awesome. Rye Whiskey, if you like that, they do a very, very nice offering of the rye, and their experimental blends and batches are awesome as well. Also, a shout-out to the Turner Group, Colin, Amy, Becky, Griff Broker, everyone at the Turner Group, keeping close eyes on the real estate market and making sure that they're in great position to help you out whatever your needs are, however you need them. If you're in the state of Florida, we recommend you highly to go to the Turner Group to either get your dream home, sell your home, make sure you're getting maximum value for it, finding rental, you know, properties that would be a good value for you as well, whether you're in Tallahassee, Gainesville, Central Florida, wherever it may be. The Turner Group's where you can go. All right, let's get into it. Alex Atkins joining us now. All right, Alex, well, welcome to On the Bench here. Let's jump into it, man. The offensive line brings back, like, so many veteran pieces for you. Like, what's it been like to work with Darius and Mo and Rob? Like, you get these guys that you've gotten to see mature over the years, and now you're seeing them, like, as young men. Like, I guess, what has this last few years seeing them develop been like for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's just a full process, you know, and watching them not just develop, you know, as football players, but just overall, man, like guys are learning how to live on their own. They're taking care of business academically. I don't got to chase them down and how they live in their social lives. And, you know, I called Darius one time at like 9:30. He was mad because I, you know, got him up out the bed. Like, it's just kind of, you know, hitting that old man stride on him, which is good to see just that full maturity, you know, and not just on the field. But, I mean, of course, the results have came on the field. Guys have gotten all conference honors and representing, you know, and all that kind of good stuff that comes with that process. But it's just overall maturity is what you're looking for. Just that change leaving as an 18-year-old young man, and hopefully they can go attack the world as a man when they leave.
We get to go to tour of duty and got to see Darius there, like just his body language and him, the way how much he's smiling and how he carries himself. Like, it is so different than when he first got here and was like, that's what you want though as a coach, is for someone to evolve as a human, like in the span you get to work with them.
Well, yeah, their approach changes because when you come in as a young guy, you're just doing the work because we're telling you to do the work. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't know why. They just say, we're just doing what you say, coach, because we don't want to get yelled at. But then as you get older, they see that the work is necessary. It's no different than a man that gets up and goes to work in the morning. You know, he understands the why of why he's doing it. And they've been full process from losing, you know, 9 games to winning 13 games. So they've seen the why, the reason why. So their approach and how they attack each day, it gives them a reason and a why to be happy, to smile, to know what's coming. I mean, I told the guys this in the room. I said, man, y'all have had the luxury where all the guys in my room have, you know, they've had the same old line coach for, you know, I'm going on season five. You know, so, I mean, just to have that consistency and you know what's coming, you know what to expect, you know how I operate, you know the standard, you know, I think that, you know, brings a little bit of joy and also a little bit of consistency, which, you know, helps them smile a little bit.
I'm sure that is helpful. And with Darius, like, so let's talk about him real quick. He won deservedly first team all-conference honors this past year. And you've talked so highly about, like, the versatility that he offers. And we've gotten to see that. Like, I'm curious, though, like, Alex, like, where the idea of that versatility kind of started. Like, how did you say, like, I know you cross-train, you know, everyone at some extent or another, but, like, when do you start seeing the seeds planted of, like, oh, Darius could maybe swing inside and be a center for us these couple of weeks? Like, how early on did that kind of present itself and how?
Yeah. When I was at Tulane in 2017, I got a chance to go intern with the Ravens right before camp. And I realized that those guys only activate 7 O linemen, you know, sometimes 8, depending on, you know, other positions with special teams, but they only bring in that many people to go to a game to go win a football game. So when I said, all right, you know, so I'm going to use that and say, all right, let's say I've only got 7 or 8 guys. I have to be able to train these guys to keep the best players on the field and not just to back up at that position. And that's what I learned and how they were meeting and how they were operating. So I kind of took that pro style approach of, and I tell my guys all the time, you know, you want to be in that 7 or 8 number to be able to contribute to win football games. Because what it does is, you know, because I asked one coach, I said, why don't y'all take more O-linemen? You know, why don't they carry more? Or why don't they expand rosters? He said, because we don't want to water down the league. You know, to get an O-line to operate at a high level, it takes specialized coaching. You're not going to be able to coach 20 people that way. It's just not possible. The time spent, the hours spent, the conversation, and coaching each individual player individually to themselves. So I had to learn how to present, teach, and communicate in ways where they can understand all 5 positions with just one base meeting. And Darius was, you know, when I got there, he was the better player in the room. So I was like, all right, I can't keep him on the sideline and just say, hey, I'm just going to play him at this one position. He has to be able to contribute at all 5 because, number one, he can. He has the ability. But also, it keeps us to be as best as we can be and not putting somebody out there that doesn't need to be out there.
Cool. And it's worked out well, obviously, for you guys and for him. Like, to think about what that could present to him when it's time to go to the NFL of, like, having film at multiple spots, being competent. That has to be helpful, right?
Absolutely, just to know the game. And I mean, it helps him just tremendously. You know, I had John LeGlue at Tulane who he started at the first year he played tackle for me. The next year he played center, and the last year he played guard. You know, he was with the Falcons. He was active roster on the Steelers here not this past week. He's coming down to see me coming to the house. And basically, I'm going to have him talk to, you know, he wants to kind of see what he can do to help those guys in multi-training. But he was just an example of how, like, all right, once I learned that from the Ravens, I implemented when I got to Tulane, and I had a guy that's still playing in the league because he can play all 5 positions and he can snap the football. So that makes you way marketable when they only carry in 7 or 8 guys.
For sure. It makes sense. So let's talk about some of the guys you've brought in into the roster. I don't think we've talked to you since signing day. Like, so you brought in Terrence Ferguson, you brought in Richie Leonard, guys with experience, SEC play. I guess, what do they both bring to the table? What did you like about them in the eval process?
Yeah. I mean, the conference affiliation doesn't really, you know, that means nothing to me. It was more of Terrence Ferguson. I knew him in recruiting. We had a relationship prior to then, you know, it came down to, you know, we were in this recruiting late when I first got the job. It just didn't work out, you know, at the time because of where we are and where the program he went was. So, you know, fast forward, you know, he was looking to kind of get a little bit more specialized coaching. He remember our relationship. So, you know, he gets in a portal, he makes a call, he calls me and says, hey, look, you know, this, you know, I want to come there. So he comes up, he visits. I think he takes one more visit to Oklahoma and just to kind of make sure, I always encourage guys to take multiple visits. And then he comes down and says, you know, I want to be a part of this. And the main thing I challenged him with was, you know, I need some leadership because I got some young guys that's really coming along. I just think they need to take that one more step. So when you come in here, I need you to pour into those guys unbelievably. And he's been doing that, man, through behind the scenes leadership, because he understands what it takes. And also it shows the grass isn't greener kind of approach. I guess that does help because, you know, most kids only sign to one place and they only know one place. So you get a guy come in and say, hey, man, you don't know what you have here. So, you know, he sits down in the fig. He said, man, this food is better than what I had before. You know, like, y'all don't understand. Like, because sometimes we think it's greener. So he brings that approach. He's a vet, man, humble spirit, work hard, talented. So I'm excited for him. He gives me that, you know, the Gibbons vibe, just a little bit more, probably a little bit, you know, I would say the difference between him and Gibbons is probably a little bit of athleticism, you know, where Fur can move and jump. I saw that in Tour of Duty, but just the mentality and the approach is very similar.
And then with Richie, like another guy who has some good film, I guess, what have you seen from him? What could he bring to the table this year?
Richie's the old man of the group, you know. Number one, he was a starter where he was at and started a lot of football games. And what I loved about Richie was I tried to scare him because I was a little bit curious of why he would want to come compete and he's already starting. You know, I was, you know, what are you looking for? And he said, you know, he wanted an opportunity to compete at the center guard position. And, you know, he had heard, you know, how we do things here, coaching style and things like that. So that, and then we had a relationship with Ratliff, who played at his former university and knew his family and things of that nature. So when he decided to get in the portal, it was, I mean, we looked at Richie. I knew he was a good player, but I didn't think he would, you know, make that move being a starter. I thought it was, you know, something else, or he wanted to go somewhere family. But then he's like, nah, man, coach, I heard about you. I heard how you operate. Love Coach Norvell. I've seen the growth of the program and these things. So what he brings is, man, watching him in Tour of Duty has been impressive because when I looked at his body, I was like, there's no way. You know what I mean? He's like, you know, I always tell him, I say he was made for Tour of Duty. He's low center ground. He can do the seat rolls. He works at it, man. Great personality, man. Never look stressed or strained. I enjoy that, man. I enjoy guys who are comfortable being themselves and you know, challenge. I love that in my room. So Richie's going to bring that vet presence, you know, been there, done that, work mentality, humble spirit. You know, he's not a rah-rah guy, but he leads by example. Like, we've been doing these community service deals. I think he's been at all of them. Cool. So that spirit is what we need in our room to continue to help us, you know, kind of go where we want to go.
And you earlier talked about, you know, having 7 or 8 guys. I know it's something that Coach Norvell has talked about, even expanding that more. And you rotated at such a high level this past year successfully. Two guys who are transitioning from being younger to now having more experience that, like, could potentially fill in that role is Jalen Early, Julian Armella. I think our fan base, like, wants to know, like, what do those guys need to do to take the next step and kind of emerge into that rotation?
Yeah, I love how college football has advanced because that's the normal process to be – an elite O-lineman. Is that's always been the case, is that you take a guy and it takes about 2 to 2.5 years to build their body up to, number one, withstand the game and come in and play at a high level. Like Trey Thomas, who was a great offensive lineman here, played in the league for a long time. I had him come do a Zoom with our guys, and he basically just told them, guys, I didn't really start rotating till my junior year, and I didn't start till my senior year. That's the normal process of it. You know, we've kind of accelerated things at this position where you sign a young guy, you want to throw him out there, and that can hurt careers. Like, think about a guy like Darius Washington, who played as a freshman, and he had labrum surgery after his first year. So that kicked him back 2 off seasons. I think about Rob Scott, who I had to start his freshman year, and he's had 2 surgeries. I think about all the young offensive linemen I see playing with these shoulder harnesses on because their bodies are just not made to withstand the game yet. So what we want to do is we want to put that arm on them, and we want to make sure they can go in there and operate at a high level. But I do really feel good about those guys being in the rotation this year. I think it's about that time. And as long as they show it on the field, the consistency and things like that, they're going to be rolling. You know, they're going to be going. And you saw Jalen got in against Georgia. Mm-hmm. I mean, he got in, came in, got some reps. Julian played a bunch the last 2 years. They've been in games. They just haven't been the starters, you know, or been in full rotation. But this year, I fully expect those guys to step up. They've been good in offseason, good at Tour of Duty. They've been in the same coaching, same staff. So it's about that time for them to take that step. So I'm excited to see what this spring and this fall camp going to bring for those guys.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, the window that I personally get into tour duties is one day, and it's so cool to see it. It's a small sample size, but like one thing that seemed obvious to me is like the speed on offense is legitimate. And I'm talking about collective, like the entire offense. You guys have brought in some transfers with speed. You return skill players with speed. I guess that's by design, like, right? Like you want fast players, but it just seems like that was a big emphasis in the portal this offseason, was to add extra athletes into the mix.
Absolutely. I mean, we've always been an offense of big plays, but we wanted to get more explosive. Sure. We thought that, you know, a couple of plays we had, a couple of runs, we had Trey Bones, some big runs, we had big catches, but we wanted guys that, you know, if they touch the ball, it kind of is a hold of breath kind of scenario. We think that's going to make us kind of take that next step in the offense. We've been good on offense, but we're trying to get to that elite level. And also, you know, going back to rotating the O-linemen, I think you continue to learn throughout the season, and I'm learning throughout my career. The rotation has to be on point. It also has to be situationally based, because sometimes I got caught with having a guy out there that possibly didn't quite understand fully of the situation that we was in when we came in. Maybe you bring them in there and it's a short yardage situation. They come in thinking it's first and 10. I got to do a good job of emphasizing those situations too, because I think that'll make us better too.
So that's like continuity and consistency, right? Like making sure that those guys have an understanding of situation and
yeah, putting them in a situation they've been in before.
Sure.
So, because sometimes rotation, it was different reasons why I rotate, maybe matchups, fatigue, injury, rep count, but also they got to understand the situation. So now I can kind of plan based rotation based on situation. Like, all right, look, when you go in here, it's going to be possibly this situation. So understand, we could probably get this more on defense. So that way they don't have to come in and refigure out what's going on as they're out there. When some guys say get in a rhythm. So now it's training to get guys in a rhythm, even without reps, of understanding what the situation is as they roll, and also practicing that starting hit a spring. So I think our first situation comes in day two. Okay. So we kind of, you know, using that practice schedule. I mean, I think even day three, first day in pads, we got a, you know, third down situation. We got a call it situation. So putting those guys in that rotation mindset, even during practice, I think is going to help us hit that next level also.
Love to get your thoughts on DJ Uiagalelei. Like, he was, we haven't talked to you since he joined the team, and you got to see him today. Like, he looks the part. He's this big, strong quarterback. He's had experience at multiple stops. He's someone who's failed before and then learned from it. It just seems like there's a lot of maturity and stuff there that can be helpful. I guess, what have you seen from DJ? What did you like about him in the recruiting process? How can he help this team?
That goes back to what we talked about O-line, where the normal, you know, process of becoming an elite player. You know, we brushed that process. DJ was a highly recruited kid, went to a highly touted program, and, you know, and actually did better than most people realize. But he had to go through that growing process of maturing, understanding the game. He went through a couple system changes and things like that. But now you've seen he had a big year last year. He's continued to develop. What I like about him, number one, is his size. He is a big dude, man. And he carries it well. He moves smooth. I wouldn't say he out here running, breaking track numbers, but he moves better than what one would think, you know, from watching him do drills. But what I love is his mindset, his approach, his game. Like, he's already, you know, been on them receivers and want to know more, because I've been kind of spoon feeding him with the offense, and he's eager. Like, man, you know, look, don't hold me back. I want to, you know, throw it all on me. So I like that approach to him, you know, and I think that's gonna go with his calmness He's been in the moments, done it before. I also think it's going to help that quarterback room because of that competition level. But please don't be mistaken, man. Them young Bulls, you know, Brock and Luke, them, they ain't going to make it easy now. I promise you that.
That's what you want is competition, right? At every Absolutely. Single position, every
but
single level.
But also relationship behind the competition. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a relationship-based guy, humble spirit. I mean, one thing that people brag, though, every – like, he was at Oregon State for a year, and those teammates, they all bragged upon what kind of guy he was, his approach, his teammate, and all that kind of good stuff. So I was just excited for that part. You know, as much as that you can get on your team is a blessing. And he wanted to be at Florida State.
It seems like there – you mentioned with DJ – he wanted to be here. And with Richie Leonard, someone who could have taken an easier path to having a surefire starting spot, he wanted to be here. And that seems like that's you can't measure that, man, but it seems like that's a special dynamic, right? To have guys who value that and value being here at Florida State. I guess, how have you placed value in it? Why is that important?
We had to show substance. I think, you know, we built a lot of recruiting relationships when we got here. And we were selling hope. You know, we were selling what we could become and what we could do, but the reality of it is we had to show it. So, that I saw them putting up the graphics next to Coach Norvell's office of all the accomplishment that we've done since we've been here, and it's amazing to see because sometimes you don't remember. You know, you're just working on that day and moving forward, and to look back on, you know, scoring records, the improvement, the guys and the combine results and all this kind of stuff, and you're like, man, this thing's come a long way. So, for those guys who had the relationships that – saw this thing kind of go, and now they're like, hey, they're not selling hope no more. They're showing results and listening to our players talk about the program, players talk about the coaches, players talk about the relationships. And so it's exciting to see the real substance. So you're not just selling, hey, we hope this happens. It's like, we know this is going to happen, you know, and, you know, come be a part of it.
Last question for Alex, and I'll let you get out of here. Last spring seemed so much about, like, building on what was already done from a scheme perspective and personnel perspective. You had Jordan, you had so many returning guys, and you were filling in a few blanks. This year, there's a lot of new faces and a lot of competition and a lot of questions to be answered. For you as a coach, it's like, is there a preference to, like, just what's more fun for you in your job, like to do the building or to do the just like total like start and build it from a new beginning? I guess you have a preference. They're different than each other. I don't know if one's easier or more fun than the other.
Yeah, I don't think there's a huge difference. I think because even last year we added quite a few pieces with Jaheim and Keon, and you know, we had a couple of pieces that we added that we had to kind of still make sure that was happening. But I guess it's just more exciting to figure out, all right, let's find out what they do best and let's make sure we implement that. So I guess the more of the challenging, because, I mean, it's always a new year, you know, nothing – in our mind as coaches, nothing really carries over. You know, even with Jordan, I thought, you know, last year he had his best fall camp since he's been here. So that's still pushed to get better. So it's just more of, I enjoy the challenge of making sure we're putting these guys in the best position they can, and that comes from learning them. So that's still building relationships, which we're all coaching for anyway. So I'm excited for that because that's what makes players talk good about you when they know absolutely you're putting them in the best position to showcase their talent.
All right, awesome. The birds are singing. We'll end on that note. They're chirping. It's beautiful. All right, Alex, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, boss.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.